If you would take your Bibles this morning, thank you for coming to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I appreciate you bringing your Bibles and coming to hear the Word of God. We ought to be in church today, not to just socialize, although that's good, and not just fellowship, and not have a cup of coffee or whatever it is. We enjoy those things. Well, some of you do. To hear the Word of God. We know that's our primary purpose. And here at the church, we talk about the primacy of preaching. We believe the Bible's very clear on that, that we ought to have a specific time set aside to hear the Word of God. So Mark chapter 2, again, if you will, and we appreciate, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Oh, we even got a dirty napkin. Okay. Okay. All right, Mark chapter 2. Again, just one, looking at those in the Word of God reached out and really touched somebody. Remember that? Reach out and touch somebody for the cause of the gospel. Mark chapter 2, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And then, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Notice verse 5. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk, but that thou may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And he immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." I love this story. As we see here, another incident where Jesus proves the naysayers wrong, the critics wrong. I want to hone in, though, this morning on the verse 3. It says, "There was one sick of the palsy which was born afore." Now, that term there, born afore, that phrase, if you will, it means they carried the man. Every one of them took a corner of his bed and carried this man to Christ. Carried him. You and I have an obligation and a duty to take a corner of that bed and take someone to him. Isn't that wonderful to see that when we come together and work together, we can see great things done and people brought to the Lord. I was reading through this verse, preparing and looking through and studying, and I always have an imagination when I read the Word of God. I don't know if you do. My mind kind of runs a little bit. But I thought about the practical aspects of this. These individuals came and they picked this guy up and took a corner of the bed and brought him to Jesus. And they said they saw the crowd and the line that was outside the house. They said, there's no way we're going to get in. And they came and they said, one of the fellows, obviously, I don't know which one it was, he said, hey, I got an idea. I work on roofs. I'm a roofer. I'm just making this up, okay? This is my imagination. I got an idea. How about we climb up on the roof and break it open and let's lower him down in? Man, that'll be great. And they reluctantly said, okay, do you ever have a friend like that? Hey, man, let's do this or that. And you go, that's not a good idea, but okay, let's do it. For the practical part of it, I was thinking, the guy who owned the house must have been ticked. Wouldn't you be mad? He sees his roof being peeled back and going, well, what in the world are we doing here? That took me a year to put up together. That took me the... And I can only imagine, as the stuff fell down, I was replacing some of these ceiling tiles yesterday, or whatever you call them, and I took one out and I went like this, and all this stuff fell right in my face. You know that, you go, oh. And can you imagine all that stuff falling down and Jesus sitting there in the middle? And you can imagine him kind of chuckling, going, that's a good idea. But you guys are smart. I like that. And sure enough, they bring him, lower him down into the house. And Jesus looks at the man and says, hey, notice verse 5. He saw their faith. Whose faith? The four individuals. He said, because of your faith. And then he points to the man sick of the palsy. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now that's what we're doing. All right, we're taking a corner of that bed and we're lifting it up and we're taking people to Christ. But we've all got to work together. Not one person can do it all. You say, well, so-and-so's, he's real outgoing or she's real outgoing. She's an extrovert. She's good talking with people. She'll do the inviting. She'll do the reaching of the people. No, we come together, don't we? And I want to cover this morning just a couple aspects. But first of all, what corner can you take and pick up? Now, one person could have picked this man up, obviously, maybe picked him up and carried him to the Lord. Now, just kind of practically speaking, again, as I was thinking about this, the average man, let's say he was maybe, I don't know, at least 150 pounds. I mean, at least, right? You would think, unless he was real small. And you can't, man, you could only carry so long. Can you imagine walking with 150 pounds? He would have got there and they saw the line and they saw the people there and he said, man, just put me down. It's not going to work. It's going to take us forever to get in. We'll never get to see Christ. It's not going to work. One person could have done it, but notice four people. They each grabbed a corner and one guy said, hey, you grab that corner, I'll grab this. You two grab that corner. Let's take him to Christ and do our part. And you see that, you know that. Now, notice a few things with me here today. There was people gathered together. You know, when we bring people to Christ, so often we find as they come, there's no room. Notice verse 2. There was no room to receive them. No room. And when there seems like to be no way, God makes a way, doesn't He? And when you see there's no way, you say, there's no way I'll ever reach that guy. There's no way she'll come to church. There's no way they'll ever come. Well, don't doubt that. You exercise some faith. Because when you do, God will make a way. But we must take a step, shouldn't we? We always have to take a step of faith. God's not going to just do it all. We sit back. We know churches like that. We know people like that. We know Christians like that. They don't do anything for God. You know, they sit back. Well, if God wants it done, He'll do it. You know, no, we have a part to play in this. But notice there was no room. The average individual today has no room for Christ in their life. They have no room for church in their daily or their weekly schedule. They have no room for Him. They have no room to give back as He's blessed them so richly. Lord, I would give, but I don't have enough. No, you do have enough. They have no room. You know, there was another time in Scripture in Luke chapter 2 when that is used. There was no room. You folks know where it was. The birth of Christ. And they came and it said, and it was that time when Mary was about to bring forth her firstborn son. And she brought him forth and it says she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is death burial rags. That's what Jesus said to Pilate. What did He say? For this end I was born. Meaning He was born to die. So she wrapped him in these swaddling clothes, basically rags, and put him in a horse trough. And then it says this, because there was what? No room for them in the inn. They knocked on the door. You got any room? My wife's pregnant. She's about to give birth. We don't got any room. They went to the next place. Sir, we just need a little bit. Just give us one room. We'll just be even 6 hours, 5 hours. Just give us some time. There's no room. There's no room. Sadly today, we know that. There's no room. Do you have room for Christ? Do you have room? Can I encourage you to prioritize? When they saw there was no room, these individuals said, although it appears to be no room, although it appears to be crowded, we're going to make a way. Why? Because we know the God we serve. We know Jesus and whom we serve. And that's a wonderful thing. But people today, no thanks, I'm not interested. Hey, would you come to church with me? I don't do church. Hey, would you take this track, this invitation? On the back of it, it has the plan of salvation, how to be saved. I don't do that. I don't do church. I don't believe in God. There's no room. There's no room. But I would encourage you to stay after them. Keep praying for them. We believe in something called intercessory prayer in this church, meaning we can pray for somebody that seems like they have no interest in God. You continue to pray for them. Lord, please work in their life. Please, on their behalf, I'm praying, Lord, please work. But notice it says He preached the word unto them. As they stood there, can you imagine they heard the word being preached of the Lord and they said, yes, that's Him. We've got to get this man to him. Verse number 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. One sick. Just one. Notice that. Just one. One sick. Do you know every human being on this earth is infected with that same disease? It's called sin, right? Everyone is infected with this sickness called sin, and we are coming to them. Now, they don't realize that. They don't know. A lot of them don't know that they need Christ. They don't know that they need a Savior. They don't know they need saving. And we explain that to them. They'll receive it or they'll reject it. We know. But we see there's one sick. And four of them saw that there's one sick. Can you imagine if four of us went after one person? They'd probably call the cops of harassment, right? And the church is crazy, man. I think they're a cult or something. Brother Adam and I were joking a while back about whistling. You know, you ever heard some of those guys whistle, professionally whistle? And we thought, hey, let's have a service where we just whistle the hymns. And then we started thinking, we're like, no, that's like a cult thing, is it? No, we won't do that. But, you know, you think about it, four of us go after an individual and we say, you've got to get to Jesus. Do you know the answer is Jesus? You say, oh, that's cliche. You say that all the time. I said it last week. The answer is Jesus. We've got to get people to Jesus. We've got to get people to Him so He can heal their disease. Can I, and very kindly, remind every one of you in here, we have limited time. For some of you, it's shorter than others. You've lived 3/4 of your life. Other, these little kids, we love them so much, they have a whole life ahead of them. Some of you are middle-aged. You've lived half. I don't know what it is. We have limited time. And can I encourage you to give the rest of your time to Him? Paul makes that clear. We should not live the rest of our time here on earth to ourselves, but to the will of God, he says. Peter reiterates that as well. The time is very precious. And these men said, we've got to grab a corner and take him to Christ. Notice verse 4, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. You got to watch out for the press. Don't listen to the press, okay? They'll lead you astray. Could not come nigh for the press. They uncovered the roof. They uncovered the roof. Roof or roof? How do you say it? Roof? Okay. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now listen, they had to be a little bit of an engineer here. They didn't just, okay, you know, you think of a bed, it had to have been, what, at least six foot long, if whatever it was, unless the guy was kind of curled up or whatever the case was. They didn't just drop him down in, you know, bang. Well, at least Jesus will heal him anyways if he gets hurt, you know, get knocked out. They had to tie some ropes or do something to lower this guy, shimmy him down like a ninja. You know, they're shimmying this guy down into the presence of Christ. They did, what I'm saying is they did what was needed. They did what they could do to get this man to the Lord. And aren't we so lazy sometimes? I'm preaching to myself. Well, Lord, their car's not in the driveway, so let's get out of here. You know, they said they wouldn't be home, so I don't know. They kind of seem like they're not real happy today, so I better not try and invite them. I better not ask them about where, you know, this and that and that and this. We're so like that, aren't we? And these men said, no, we've got to find a way. We've got to get away. We've got to make a way. When there is no way, there's a song. When there is no way, God makes a way. God makes a way. He provides a way for him. And notice this, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. As I said last week, but you know this, there are people God is already working on right now before you even consider them, before you even think about them. I heard a story, and I love it, but of a man that had been praying and looking to invite his friend to the church, basically, you know, to get saved, and he wanted him get him to Jesus. Well, this man was mean, he was caustic, he was rude, he was ungodly, he was foul-mouthed, all the things you would think of a person that hates the Lord and doesn't want anything to do with it. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and he finally said, Lord, after all these years, I don't think there's any hope. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. And finally, the man just popped up one day at church, one Sunday morning, and he said, what are you doing here? You know, scared him. He said, well, I came to church. I want to come to church. And he said, wow, that's great. He said, well, what did it? What was it? What was it in your they brought you to church, you know. And he said, when I thought about that you would not give up on me, that pulled my heart. He said, everyone in my life gave up on me. No one ever stuck with me. No one ever stayed with me. Everyone abandoned me. When I was rude back to them, they left, never came back. He said, but you wouldn't stop. And he said, if you believe that strongly about your beliefs, about your God, then I got to go investigate that. I want that. I want something of that. And you and I, my friends, ought to keep going after him. He says when he saw their faith, God's working in people's hearts right now. We're to do our part. We're to be responsible and propagate the truth to the world around us. Oh, but verse 6, as we're reaching just one, we're going after our person God may lay on our hearts. Notice verse 6, there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. When you go out, you know what's going to happen? Critics come. By the way, notice the position they were in. Sitting, doing nothing, zero, nada for God. The people that do nothing for God, they say, why are you doing it that way? Well, you know, if you go to, you're not going to make it. You're not going to do it that way. It's never going to work that way. Critics, all the time. Jesus was constantly followed by critics. Can you imagine that? Everywhere he went, they followed him. The Pharisees, the scribes, those naysayers. And Jesus dealt with them so very kindly. Well, sometimes he did. But he turned to them at certain points and he says, don't follow these people. Why? He says they like to make long prayers. They like to stand up and wax eloquent. They like to let everyone know what they're doing. And he says, but inside they're dead men's bones. They're like a coffin. They're so pretty and ornate, beautiful. They got copper, gold, everything else on this beautiful casket. What's inside? A dead body. A dead body. You and I know that. Jesus said, don't follow them. But he had naysayers. He had critics constantly in his life. And if you listen to those critics, why don't you just decide today you're going to go ahead and do what God told you to do anyways? Go ahead and do it. Say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do what God asked me to do anyways. I'm going to go ahead and be faithful anyways. I'm going to go ahead and serve God anyways. I'm going to go ahead and read my Bible daily anyways. Even though my spouse may laugh, even though my friends may laugh, I'll do it anyways. Sitting there, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But God only. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise? Which is easier? He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Or is it easier, or is it better if I say arise? Jesus is proving his power. And Jesus will prove his power, by the way, to the people you are trying to reach. Jesus will prove his power to the critics. And don't be misled today by our media and by other false prophets and preachers, okay? In the end, and I said this before, but you ought to write in the back page, the last page of your Bible, you ought to write this in. Jesus wins. We're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. And we're so fickle, we're so fake, we're so weak as Christians to say, oh, I don't know if I can do that for God when God did everything for us. We're so shallow, we can hardly do anything. God lays on our hearts to do one little thing, and we say, no, I can't do that, Lord. I'm too busy. My schedule's too busy this week, Lord. I've got too much going. I can't do it. I mean, it's like pulling teeth. It's like pulling molars to get people just to come to church, isn't it? Why? They're not prioritizing the house of God. And if this isn't the church for you, if you don't like this church, hey, great, find a church. Go to a church you like. But get in church, do something for God. God did that for us. Isn't that beautiful over here? Do you look at this old rugged cross? But I love in the foreground here is the empty tomb. Empty tomb. All that God did for us, he was put between two scum, low-life thieves. He was numbered with the transgressors, wasn't he? The Almighty God, sinless, perfect, created everything, Colossians says. Jesus created everything. And he was put between the lowest of lowlifes of this earth. That's what Jesus did. Spit upon, mocked, beaten, whipped, beard pulled out. You ever had your hair pulled out? Man, that hurts, doesn't it? Stripped naked, embarrassed, lifted up, naked in front of everyone to see, just disgusting, foul, embarrassing. Everything he did for you, for me. And old Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, took his body down, wrapped them again in borrowed clothing, put him in that tomb, and yet he rose again the third day. He did all that for us. What I'm saying is we can do more for God. Do more for Him. We can do more for Him. Let's jump ahead, verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all. Notice this. He wasn't embarrassed of Jesus. You know, we do that sometimes. Jesus asked, well, I would, but Lord, I remember Nicodemus? He was a secret service agent. He was embarrassed. He came to Jesus by night because he was embarrassed. He was scared he was going to lose his position in the temple. He was scared of that. It says because of fear of the Jews. Joseph of Arimathea, I just mentioned as well. He was the same way. He followed Jesus secretly, the Bible says. But this man said, hey, after all that God's done for me, after all that God has done in my life, how He's blessed us so richly. Listen, folks, remember this, how blessed we are. We're sitting here today. There's people we're praying for right now that texted me yesterday that are in the hospital, eating hospital food. But they're waiting on results. There's people right now planning a funeral. There's people right now dealing with cancer. There's other things. And we're sitting here today. How blessed we are. How good God has blessed our lives. And this man said, after all that God did, I'll get up. Notice before them all. He didn't give a rip, pardon my French, but about what they thought. And you know, when you truly follow Christ and you get close to God, you don't give a hoot about what people think. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you think I'm a fool. I don't care if you think I'm weird. I don't care what you think. I know who I in whom I have believed, Paul said, and am persuaded. He says, I've settled it in my heart of who God is. I've settled it in my heart of what He's done for me. Oh, grace divine, that He would give His life for mine. What a wonderful, wonderful song we sing. Do you think about this? Before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. People today are looking for something more. They're looking for something more than the bottle. They're looking for something more than the drugs and the pills. They're looking for something more than the pornography and the sick world we live in. They want peace and joy in their hearts. That's what they say. We never saw this on this fashion. We've never seen it done like this before. And when you bring them to Christ, they'll say, I've never experienced this before. Do you remember the day you got saved? You remember that day, don't you? I pray you are. It's the greatest day of your life. And can I say today, if you don't know Christ and you're not sure, you say, Brother Tim, I don't know. If heaven forbid, but if I went out today and something were to happen and I left this earth, I don't know where I would go. Can I encourage you today to make sure of that? To say, Lord, I want to know. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make. It'll be the greatest day of your life. But you got to make that decision. But he went forth before them all. And he said, look what God's done. Look what he's done for me. Look how he's blessed me. Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing. Oh, he's doing such great things here in our church. And you know that he's doing great things in your life. I pray he is. And if you're challenged this morning, you say, Lord, I don't know why you're allowing these things or problems into my life. The best thing you can do is not get away from this book. The best thing you can do is run to this book. Get close to this book. You've got to spend time in the Word of God. You've got to be in the Word. Why? So that you know in whom you have believed. He wrote, as he said to the church at Thessalonica, Paul did. He says, because of your acceptance of the Word, you believed what I gave to you. He says, your faith is spread abroad. People talk about you. And we don't have to be a giant dynamic church to reach the lost. We can do it one by one, one at a time. And reaching somebody. And reaching. You say, I've never done that before. I want to remind you that it's a command and a commission given by Jesus Christ. He said, go ye therefore. And what? Preach the gospel. Teach them. That means disciple them. Baptize. All the things we know we're supposed to do. To go out and reach the people. You have a circle of influence that only you can reach. I have people that only I can reach. I can't send one of you to reach somebody that I know. I mean, you could, but wouldn't it be better if I went and reached them? They know me. You know certain people. You and I must put forth an effort. But there was one born of four. Take the corner. If you can take a corner of prayer, just take a corner of prayer. If you can take a corner of holiness and righteousness and being a testimony to other people, take that corner. You can take the corner of faithfulness, being faithful to God, faithful to the house of God, faithful to the Word of God, being faithful. Take a corner today. And if we all take a corner, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? A lot easier. You've heard before, but I have as well. The average church is like a football game. 11 people doing all the work and 30,000 people sitting and watching. Isn't it? We can work together. Do you have an individual on your heart that you can simply say, come with me. Come with me. Hey, come see the new church out there. Where is it? It's about 4 miles from Edgewood, but come on out. It's that one church. It's a big gray building. It looks like a barn. You'll love it. Come to church. Come check it out. Come see what they're doing. Man, I feel like the Holy Spirit's in that place, man. There is the Lord there at work. Come with me. And as Andrew said, and as Philip said, they said, come and see. Come and see. Can you invite somebody? Do you know somebody? Reach them. Reach them. See, God, I want to know what you want me to do. I want to know. Now, again, this man, he went forth, forever healed, forever changed. And he knew who had touched him and changed him. He knew it. One day on the dusty road, a lady came and she had an issue with blood and she spent all that she had, all of her savings, on trying to get better. The doctors had taken advantage of her. She had nothing left, zero in her bank account. And yet, the Bible says she was still sick. Can you imagine that? That would be a horrible situation. She came and again, Jesus was surrounded by a large number of people and she couldn't get to him. And it was noisy and loud and everyone trying to talk and say something. And she said, I'll never get to the Lord. And she reached through the crowd with her hand as far as she could. And she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment. And she just touched basically his coat, just touched it. And the Bible says immediately she was healed. And Jesus stops everybody and he says to the apostles, he says, who touched me? And they laughed a little bit and said, Lord, everyone's trying to touch you. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, no, somebody touched me. But they touched me by faith, with faith. Well, that I was able and am able to heal. Anyways, he calls the lady out. And she steps forward before them all and says, it was me, Lord. It was me. Jesus doesn't want us to be secretive. This man didn't pick up his bed and sneak out of the house. I don't want anyone to know what happened. You know, that's what people want. They want all the benefits of Jesus Christ, but don't want to serve him. Well, Lord, heal me. Take care of me. Heal my sick child. Take away the cancer. Mend our marriage. Put it back together. But Lord, don't ask me to do anything back. Don't ask me to do anything. Oh, my friends, we need to serve him faithfully. Now, I'll wrap it up there. But as we think about today, born of four, everyone grabbing a corner and helping out, working together. Not one can do it all. Not one. They can try, but they'll burn themselves out. And the church will not receive what they're supposed to receive, the joy, the blessings of reaching other people. We all come together and reach down, pick up a corner, say, God, by your grace, I can do my part. I'm not good. I'm not talented. I don't have much. I'm not good at this or that. But Lord, I can grab a corner and I can help this man get to Christ. Would you help me do that today? I know you will. I pray you would. All right, I'll stop there. Lord, again, we thank you for time this morning to gather together. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Guide us and direct us. Be with us, Lord. As we endeavor to go out, we're not doing anything great and grand, Lord. We're just simply trying to obey the Bible and do what you've asked us to do. What a great example this morning of these individuals that got together and said, you know what, we can do something cohesively to reach this man and get him to Christ. Oh, how we thank you for the precious Word of God. Guide us now. We love and thank you. In Jesus' name.